Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we continue our study, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, we divide the letter into two big sections. I hope I got this right. When I looked at it a while ago, I'm not sure I've got this right. Yeah, we did get it right, because I've got it wrong on here. We've divided it into two big sections. Really, the book says who we are in Christ, the blessings that we have, how we are to live, our walk, and our applications. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, that's the doctrinal part, that's the teaching, that's our position, that's what we need to know. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, that's the practical, that's the applications, that's how we are to live. I put up here an outline for you. I think I gave it out a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't get it, this is the outline, and it divides it in the same way. Chapters 1 through 3, who we are in Christ, and it breaks it down in details for you. And then the page 2 is chapters 4 through 6, how we are to live. And so if you didn't get that already, you can pick it up afterwards, but we're going to be looking at that. That's the outline of the book that you can use as you study. We're seeing in the very first section of the letter who we are in Christ and our blessings that we have. And last time what we did is we started with verse 3 of chapter 1 and went through verse 14. We put that whole thing together, and as I mentioned a while ago, in the original language, that's one verse. I mean, one sentence. It seems sort of strange, but that is one long sentence, and it gives us 6 blessings that God has given to each of us who belong to Jesus Christ. Now, this evening, we're going to be looking at the blessings, but there are two things that stand out. We saw this last time, that number one, these blessings are from God. All the blessings that we have come from God. And number two, the blessings are based on our relationship with Christ. Because we are placed in Christ, our faith in Christ, we are connected with Him. Because of our connection with Him, we have the blessings, and all the blessings are from God. So it's pretty powerful. This evening, we're going to begin seeing the blessings in more detail. We looked at them pretty quickly last week. This time we're going to a little bit more detail. We're going to see the first two. The one is that we're chosen in Christ. The second one is we're adopted as children. And we mentioned those last week. And so some of the things we'll talk about, we hit on last week. I want to go more detail. And of course, as always, at the end, we'll open it up for any questions or comments you might have on things. How does all this fit? What has God done for us? What are the blessings that we have in Christ? So there's a lot. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for the great songs. Thank you that we can come together. And Lord, realize, first of all, who we are in Jesus Christ, that you have given us this blessings, blessed in our union with Christ, and we thank you for that, Lord. And then we realize that we are to live. We're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're to live out who we are in our Savior Christ. So, Lord, we ask you tonight that as we begin looking at these 6 blessings, as we look at the first two tonight, that you would teach us, and that we'd be encouraged, and that we'd spend time in our quiet times during this week, maybe looking at these things and praising your name for what you have done for us and thanking you. Lord, thank you for tonight and our time to study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you hear the term self-worth or self-identity, it's really the way we view ourselves. And sometimes we look at how we think others view us, and then we view ourselves based on what we think others view about us. It's our identity or our self-worth is a complicated thing. It affects us. I read a study that was released by the psychiatrists and counselors that said basically 3/4 of the people that they dealt with have self-worth or self-identity problems. And it's true. How do we determine our self-worth? There's really 2 ways. We look at it man's way or God's way. If we look at it man's way, we got a problem, because when we do that, we always want to compare. We look around and we look at ourselves compared to others, and we compare in a lot of ways, and 2 things always happen when we compare. Number one, either we think we're better or we think we're worse. Usually we never say, you know, I'm just about the exact same as that other person. We don't do that. We look around and we say, that person is, oh, they're, you know, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm so much better. That's what we think. And so there's a pride aspect. And then the other way, we look around and we think we're worse. In fact, that's what a lot of us do. We look around and we go, you know, boy, if they knew what I was like, and you know, and they're so much better, and they do this, and we feel inferior. And both are wrong. We don't need the pride part. We don't need the inferior part. This is not how we determine our self-worth. There's the second way, and that's God's way. And God's way is based on the Word of God. Whenever I think about self-worth, I always think of Psalm 139. And the fact that we go and we're created and fearfully and wonderfully made, and the thoughts that God has for us, and He planned us and weaved us in our mother's womb, it's incredible. And God's way is based on God's Word, and we see who we really are, and we realize that we're special and unique, and we're created in the image of God, and we've got gifts, talents, and abilities, and we realize that we who know Christ as Savior, we are set apart in Christ. And as Ephesians tells us, God has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. So this evening, we're going to begin looking at some of the blessings that God has given to us, and it's pretty powerful. As we said last time, we divided this little section into 2 parts. Verse 3, which was God has blessed us, and then verse 4 through 14 is basically the 6 blessings. Now, let me show you. Let's think about it. I think we've got the 6 blessings that we saw last week. First of all, we have been chosen in Christ, that's verse 4. We've been adopted as sons, that's verse 5. We were redeemed in Christ, that's verse 7. He has made known to us God's plan in Christ, that's 8, 9, and 10. Then we have an inheritance in Christ, that's verse 11. And then we are secure in Christ, that's verse 13. So in those 14 verses, basically from verse 3 through 14, in that section, we have the blessings and we list those six blessings. You don't have to write that down. We're going to get them as we go through. You may have written them down last week, but that's the six blessings that we see. For the next couple of weeks, or actually 3 weeks, we're going to try to take two blessings a week as we go through it. And of course, the goal is that we realize who we are based on the blessings that God has given to each of us in our relationship in Christ. And I think it's important that we do that. You know, we talked about last week that there were six blessings. And so that you would take in your quiet time last week, that if you could, you take a blessing a day and you think about the fact that you were chosen in Christ. And then like maybe that was on a Monday, and then Tuesday, you were adopted as son, and Wednesday redeemed, and Thursday make known, and Friday this, Saturday, and then we're today. And you had a break today, and you could pray for me on Sunday and then look at these. So, and we're going to talk about the things this next week is what we want to pray for and think about as we look over this passage. As we begin, let's look at Paul's overview statement. We saw it last week, but he says, we've been blessed by God in Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Blessed be the, this is verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now he says, really, he starts off by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Greek word for blessed there ties back into the fact of praise. And he's saying, not just bless God, but praise God. Praise God for who he is. Blessed or praised be the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Paul begins by praising God, and that's what we do, and that's what we should do. Sometimes I think we get so tied up, or we think about all the things of life, and we're so busy, we forget to praise him and thank him. And sometimes we ask for stuff, and he gives it to us. And we forget to thank him for everything that he's done for us. And so for these few weeks, let's think about praising God, because that's what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, praise be to God and the Father. Why? Because he's given us these blessings, and then he lists them. So in the next 2 to 3 weeks, why don't we spend time praising God, thanking him, lifting up his name by saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have given to us. You have chosen us. You have adopted us. You have given us an inheritance. You have redeemed us. You have done this. And that's what we want to do in these few weeks. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is God is the source of all blessing. And that's how it works. And praise be to the Father. And he ties it together. God the Father, and God is the Father, and Jesus Christ, of course, is the Son. Different roles. It's amazing when you think about it. It is the Father came up with the plan, and the Son carried out the plan. It is the Father who sent, who so loved the world that he sent his Son. It is Jesus who was the Son who was willing to come and die for us and rise again. You never want to take this for granted. Think about the Trinity. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father came up with the plan. The Father said, I so love the world that I want to send the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Son loved us so much that he was willing to leave the glories of heaven, come to the earth, die on the cross, pay for sin. Holy Spirit reveals the plan. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to be able to understand and know the plan. That's why God said, I'm going to send the Spirit. He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed in me. That's the plan. The Holy Spirit convicts us of that. And so the Father, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's that relationship. Notice, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's four words, I think, that stand out. Our shows our relationship with him. It's not just a Lord Jesus Christ. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord show is the word for deity. Christ is the word for Savior. Excuse me, Jesus is the word for Savior, and Christ is the word for the Messiah, the anointed one of God. So he says, he's blessed us. Blessed our Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God. Why? Because he's blessed us. Notice, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice he didn't say he will bless us someday. He already has blessed us. We already have these blessings. The blessings that we put up there a while ago, those six things, you already have those. It's not like one day you might get this. You already have this. He says, blessed be the God and Father who has, past tense, already blessed us. Warren Wiersbe tells the story of William Randolph Hearst. You remember him as the wealthy newspaper man, extremely wealthy. He read about a piece of art, and he said, oh, that's a valuable piece of art. I want that. I want that. He stated he must have it. He said, let's search. Let's find it. They searched and discovered, and finally they realized he already had the piece in his warehouse. And sometimes we don't realize we already got these blessings. We say, I wish God would bless me. And Paul would say, did you read? Did you not read chapter 1? He already has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So God has already blessed us. And James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Everything we have comes from God. I thought sometimes when some of the men get up to pray on Sunday morning at the offering time, they remind us that everything we have comes from God. Every blessing, every possession, everything. Now, this passage, notice it says, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We talked about last week that whenever we think about blessing, sometimes we think about material things. Like, oh, I got a great house and a family and a job and all this. He's not talking really about that in this passage. He's talking about spiritual blessings. And he's talking about the supernatural aspect that he's done for the believers. And so he's not talking about physical necessary. He's talking about, notice, every spiritual blessing. And then he says, in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, he puts that and he says, where are our blessings? They're in heavenly places in Christ. The point is all the blessings come because of our union with Christ, and they come from God because He's in the heavenlies. It's kind of strange, and I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but if you study the Bible and read all the places where every time the word heaven is used, it's plural always, heavenlies. It's in the heavenlies. It doesn't just say in heaven. It's in the heavenlies, the heavenly places. And so he says, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, is really what it literally says in the Greek, in the heavenlies, in Christ. So when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we are in Christ, we're in union with Him, and we have all the blessings placed on our union with Christ. And that's why Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, in the heavenly places. Where is Jesus right now? Where is he seated at the right hand of the Father? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 says he's been raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews talks about it in both chapter 1 and then later over in chapter 10 says that after he had done these certain things, he's been raised up and seated with the heavenly Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, then where are we? We are seated with him. In fact, Ephesians, listen to this, Ephesians 2 verse 5, we were dead in our transgressions. He made us alive together with Christ. He has raised us up with him, with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father and we are in union with him, where are we positionally right now? We are seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, we live our lives as if we're defeated when we're seated at the right hand of the Father. I talked about this on Sunday morning, this morning, about the fact that we come together and when we go out into the world, we don't have to go out being afraid. You represent the living God. In this passage, he says, do you realize who you are? Who you've been raised up and seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, and you have every spiritual blessing that you need from God in Christ in heavenly places. That's what we have. It's really incredible. All the blessings that we have are from God in Christ. Now, as a believer, we live on two levels. Have you ever thought about that? Two levels. One, our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Philippians 3, our citizenship is heaven, where we wait for the return of the Lord to change this lowly body into be a body like His. But at the same time, even though our citizenship is heaven, we are pilgrims on this earth. We are strangers and pilgrims as we go through life. We are ambassadors for Christ on this earth. So it's a dual range. You could say, this is where I live now, but my citizenship is there. Experientially, you're here. Positionally, you are there. That's why he says, live out who you are. That's why in my Sunday school class this morning, I mentioned Colossians chapter 3, where he says, if you have been raised up, and the answer is yes, if you have been raised up, since you have been raised up with Christ, then think on the things above. You have been raised up with Christ. That's where we are, in the heavenlies. God has blessed us. Now, there are six blessings because of our union in Christ. In fact, I think we've got the handout here, or the overhead here, that says two things over and over that we see, and I've already mentioned it. God blesses us, His choice, His plan, but it's because of our union in Christ. It's pretty incredible. Now, let me show you something. As I said, that these two things stand out. It's His plan, His choice, His blessing, and it's based on Christ. Watch this. You don't have to look at the passage necessarily, but if you can put this up. That He blesses us, His plan is will. In verse 4, He's the one who chose us. In verse 5, He's the one that planned before according to His will. Verse 7 is according to the riches of His grace. Verse 9, it's His mystery, His will, His purpose. Verse 11, He purposed according to the counsel of His will. So in this whole section, it is God blesses us because it's His plan and it's His will. Now, Look at the second thing. We said it's because it's our union in Christ. Verse 4 says, in Him. Verse 5 says, in the Beloved. Verse 7 says, in Him. Verse 11 says, all things are in Christ. Verse 10, I don't know if it's right or not. It could be verse 11 there. Is in Him. Verse 13, in Him. Everything is in Christ. Everything's in our connection in Christ. So when you think about it, all the blessings that we have are based on our union with Christ, and they're from God. Well, let's see the first of the two blessings. See, we have this exalted position in our blessings. Here's the first one. You just want to throw it up there. He chose us in Christ. Now, people don't like this. I have people that say to me, I don't really like chapter 1 of Ephesians. And I go, why? It says because it talks about the election of God and how He works all things according to the counsel of His will. It's truth. It's truth. So let's look at the truth. What does it say? It says, just as. See, we got, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as. Here's the first one. He chose us in Him. He chose us in Christ. Now, the very first thing is He chose us in Christ. God picked us. Now, don't get upset. He chose us. We're talking, now, I've mentioned this many, many times. When you look into the Word of God, and people do get upset, but when you look into the Word of God, there is the God aspect of salvation. There is the man aspect of salvation. You've got to put this in your mind, because if you don't, you'll get confused. The God aspect of salvation is God chose us and brings us to Himself and gives us eternal life in that sense. It's God who is the director of all this. In fact, Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and then I will raise them up. So there's an aspect that God is the one that chooses and brings us to Himself. That's from God's side. From the man's side, just as true, whosoever will believe will not perish but have eternal life. You have to believe. You cannot be saved unless a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, in Ephesians, his emphasis is on the God side. So people get all mad, and there's people who say all they hold to is the God side, and they're always talking about election, they're always talking about predestination, they're always talking about what God does. They never talk about man at all, and all they say is this, this, and this, and they're warped. And then on the flip side, there's people that all they talk about is the free will of man, and man's going to do this, and man's going to do this, and there really isn't any sovereignty aspect of God, and God wouldn't do this and all this, and they're warped. I want you to understand, both are wrong. If you emphasize only one side of this, you're missing what the Word of God says. Ephesians is going to talk about the God side, at least in this passage. So don't get bothered about it. Nobody will ever have eternal life unless they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the man side. Nobody will have eternal life unless God chooses them and brings them to Himself. That's the God side. They're both true. Notice what he says, that just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, the word choose, electos there, really means to pick or choose. Realize God did the choosing. See, when we know Jesus Christ is Savior, we realize he chose us. Romans 9:16 basically says, it doesn't depend on man, but on God. It's what God chooses to do. And the truth is this, if God had not chose you, you would not have chosen God. Why? Because Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. Romans says, there's no one that seeks God at all. John 15 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Romans 8 says, God's plan was to make us like Christ, so He called us, justified us. It's all God's grace and mercy. So from the God side of this thing, we ought to be happy about it. Because let me tell you, from the God side of this, this is us. We're going like this. I'm doing my own thing. What about God? I don't think about God. What, aren't you created by God? I don't even think about being created by God. See, I'm like a sheep going astray. I do my own thing. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. I'm not even thinking about God. I do my own thing. In fact, according to the Scripture, I'm an enemy of God. But even when we were enemies, God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. So what God says is, hey, I'm getting your attention. You don't even know it. I'm getting your attention. You don't even know it, but I'm bringing you to myself. And we go along with life and we go, you know, I've been really thinking about God lately. I've been really thinking about this. As if we started it. We didn't start it. He started it. What does it say? He chose us in Him. The divine sovereignty of God fits right together with the human responsibility of man. It all ties together. God chooses us, we must believe. Now, he chose us two things, when and why. Notice, he chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world. Now, that's the thing we talked about last week, and you just got to get this in your mind, that God doesn't, God deals with us in time, but God is not limited by time at all. In fact, there is no time with God. When did he create the world? In his mind, it was not like, you know, I'm going to wait another million years. Because I've always existed. I'm just going to wait another million years and then I'll create the world. That's not how it works. Time is, he's outside the time thing. He chose us in Christ when? Before he ever created the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain when? Before the foundation of the world. So you can't look at it time-wise on these kind of things. That's where people get mad. You know that there are all kind of theologians have sat around for years trying to decide when God chose or predestined or elected, and when man believes in there is no time aspect there. You can't think of it that way. In fact, there are things that he's put in his word that, as he says, as my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, as far as the heavens is above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. He is the infinite God and we're finite. There are some things you're not going to be able to comprehend. You just have to choose to believe it. His word tells you, you can't comprehend it. You can't comprehend three in one. You can't comprehend that he's always existed and always will exist. And you can't comprehend how Jesus could be God and man. And you can't understand and comprehend how he can work everything according to the counsel of his will. And every decision you make, you're responsible and they fit perfectly in his plan. You cannot comprehend that. You have to believe it, but you can't comprehend it because an infinite God put all this together and you're a finite creature. And we just go, I don't get it, but I believe it. I mean, that's what you just have to do that. And when the people get upset and they try to say, I'm not going to believe this because I can't figure this out. Guess what? There's a whole bunch of things you're not going to figure out. Because he's an infinite God and we're finite. When did he do all this? Before the foundation of the world. And why did he do it? Let me tell you, think about the before the foundation of the world. I had a friend that he was building a house. And before they built the house, they picked out the carpet, the wallpaper, and everything. You could say that they planned that before the foundation of that house. Planned it all. We were blessed before. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why did he do that? Why? That we, in the Greek, it's literally in order that it gives you the purpose or result of something. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? So that we would be holy and blameless before him. His plan is to make us holy and blameless people. His plan is to take human beings who are dead in trespasses and sins and like sheep going astray and doing their own thing and to bring them to himself and make us holy people. Every one of you in this room, every one of us, if you have believed in Jesus, guess what? You are perfect. You're perfectly righteous. In your position before God, you are perfectly righteous. You are holy and blameless. You are. Right now. Experientially, you're not, but positionally, you are. Because you're seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father in Jesus Christ, positionally perfect, holy and blameless. And that's his plan. His plan is that we would be holy and blameless before him. There's an old saying that says the greatest thing our God does is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy and then put him back into the unholy world. See, that's what we are. We're holy people living in an unholy world. That's why it says that we're to be holy and blameless, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in this world. That's Philippians. We got to be the light in a fallen world. What a contrast. We were dead, now we're alive. We were lost, now we're saved. We were unrighteous, now we're righteous. We were sinful, now we're holy. We were in darkness, now we're in light. So he said, my plan was to choose you in Christ before the foundation of the world that you would be holy and blameless before him. So the first blessing is he chose us in Christ. So don't get upset. Be glad. From the God side, if he hadn't chose you, you'd have never believed. From the man side, if he hadn't believed, you'd never be saved. Both true. Let's look at the second one. We'll go quickly through this. He's adopted us, or there's an adoption as sons. Notice what he says, verse 2. He predestined us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Now the second one is he adopted us as sons. His plan was that he would adopt us. Now notice, he predestined us to adoption as sons. Now all that predestined means is to plan beforehand. That's all it means. It means He decided beforehand that you, that each of us would be adopted as His child. In love, notice what it says, in predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. The verse begins actually at the end of verse 4. In love He predestined us. It's all based on the love of God. God loved us so much that He wanted us to be His children. His plan is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, guess what you're going to become? His child. In fact, John 1:12 says, what? As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Charles Ryrie says it this way, God has determined beforehand that all who trust Jesus Christ will be adopted into His family. That's the plan. That's all He's saying. Listen to this, Galatians 4, 5, 6, and 7. In order that He might redeem those who are under law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. We are adopted as children. And because we're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart, and we can say, Abba, what? Father. Because He's our Father. We are made children of God. That's His plan. I quoted it this morning in my Sunday school class about Ben-Hur. In the book Ben-Hur, you know, Judah Ben-Hur was a galley slave, and he was in trouble, and he was at the, you know, he's rowing that boat, and the two ships crash together, and he's able to get his chains off, and the ship is sinking, and he swims to the surface, and he looks, and the owner of the boat is about to drown, so he swims over and saves the owner's life, and the owner who owns him says, I'm adopting you as my son. No longer you're a slave, you're now my son. And that's a picture of us. We were slaves, and God says, guess what? I'm adopting you as my son, my child. You'll be with me forever, and you'll be in my family. Romans 8:15, you have not received the spirit of slavery, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons. And then he goes on and says, and if children, we're heirs of God. We're children of God. No longer slaves, no longer children of wrath, but children of God. How did it happen? Galatians 3:26, you are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Can't take it for granted. It's all by faith in Jesus Christ. You realize He has planned beforehand that we would be His children. Many of you, the first thing people teach people is they believe in Jesus. They say, now you're a child of God. You realize that's His plan, that He adopted you? And let me tell you something that's neat about it. That word for adoption literally means adopt as a full-grown son with all the privileges. Do you understand that in that culture, that you may be a son of the Father, but from zero age as you're growing up till about 12 or 13, till you became known as a man, you had no rights in the household? In fact, there was a servant, the oikonomos, the steward of the house, told you what to do. He told you when to go to school. He told you what to do because your father told him to tell you what to do. But then all of a sudden, when you became grown, you got all the rights and privileges. Now, what God says to us is the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and you become a child of God, you're not over here being this little bitty 4, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. You have all the rights as a full-grown child. That's what He said. That's why He used that word. So the people reading this would go, yeah, we got them all. Yeah, we're not any baby. Man, we got rights. So He predestined, He planned beforehand that He would adopt us as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. That's the plan. It is always through Jesus Christ. And then notice, according to the kind intention of His will. Do you think it was a nice thing for God to do to make you His child? It was. He didn't have to. Could He say, I'm going to save you all, but you're not going to be in my family? You'll be over here. I'm going to regulate. Here's eternity, and here I am. I'm God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're all together. We've been together forever. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take people. I'm going to save them. And I'm, you know, y'all going to be back over here doing your own thing. Sorry. I say it's the least I can do. I saved you. What else do you want? But you know what He did? He says, you know what I'm going to do? Not only am I going to save them, I'm going to make them my children. They're in my family forever. They're heirs of God. That's us. He's adopted us as sons. And then He goes on to say, and we'll get the last verse. He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. To the praise of His glory, of His grace. God gets all the praise. He gets all the glory because He did all of this in, literally, in the loved one. And that's Jesus Christ. All of this is based on Christ. And He gets all the praise and all the glory. That's why, listen, when people talk about salvation, they can't get any glory. They can't. Now, we got people out there telling people to repent of their sins, give their life to Jesus, make Him Lord of life, be willing to do this, be willing to do this. And what they're doing is getting some glory. Because they can say, well, I turned away from my sins, and I made a public profession, and I walked down the front, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I was willing to serve Him. And they can boast a little bit. As Ephesians says, grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is nothing in there that we can say we did. God did it all. We come to Him by faith. And that's why He gets all the praise and the glory of His grace. It's grace. The glory of His grace. It's not the glory of our works. It's the glory of His grace. When you understand grace, it'll hit you so hard that you'll do what the people did when Paul wrote to the Romans. And that's why I had to get Romans chapter 6. When people really understand grace, it'll be like they'll have to sit down and they'll have to go, okay, so you're telling me that God gives me life forever, and there's not anything I can do to get it. There's not anything I have to do to keep it. And that whether I serve Him or not, or live for Him or not, or do anything or not, or be faithful or not, or anything at all, I still have eternal life because He gave it to me. You go, that's exactly right. That's grace. I talked to a person the other day. Let me tell you this. I talked to this person, and we got around to the whole issue of eternal life. And I said, let me ask you something. If you were to die, would you go to heaven? He said, no, I wouldn't. I said, how come? He said, because I don't really believe things anymore. I said, so you used to believe? He said, well, there was a time that I actually believed in Jesus Christ. I said, what did you believe? He said, well, I believed He died on the cross and paid for my sins, and I believed He would take me to heaven. So I said, so you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, yeah. I said, well, you have eternal life. He said, well, not now. I said, oh, yeah, you do, because eternal life is what? It's eternal. He said, yeah, but I haven't even done anything right for the last 20-something years, so I don't deserve it. I said, you didn't deserve it the first time, did you? He went, that's right, I didn't. I never thought of it that way. I said, it's not your faithfulness. See, when you understand grace, it's not you hanging in there. It's not you keeping believing. It's not you doing anything. It's given to you as a gift forever. That's grace. And what does it say? To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, which He gave to us in Jesus Christ. Same thing over and over. He chose us in Christ. He planned beforehand that we'd be adopted as children. It is God's perfect plan, all for His glory. Wow. Let me give you two applications, and then we'll open up for any questions. It's one application with two parts, I think. Thank God for all the blessings He's given to us. Now, think about it. He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory for all that He has done. He's chosen us, adopted us, redeemed us. Don't forget that. Even this week, why don't you take these two that we sing? Now, last week, we took one a day. Why don't you take these two and say, okay, for 3 days this week, I'm going to think about the fact that He chose me in Christ for the foundation of the world. And His plan was that I'd be holy and blameless. And then for the other 3 days, I'm going to thank Him that He actually made me His son, His child. That He planned beforehand that when I believed, He would put me in His family forever. And it's all based on His grace. So take some time this week to do that. Here's a twofold aspect. Realize all the blessings we have are from God in Christ. Now, we've seen that over and over. God's plan, His desire, it's from God in Christ. He chose to bless us. He chose to do it. It's all through grace, and it's all from God. So thank Him. And that's why we saw that it is from God in Christ. He planned to adopt us. He chose us. We get to be His children. All of that is all because of what He has done. But there's a second thing. B, let's bring glory to God as holy children. Now, He gets all the glory no matter what. But let's choose to say, I want my life to glorify God. I want to be reminded. In fact, I think we need to continually remind ourselves that our purpose in life is not our happiness. It is our holiness. It is to live for the glory of God. John 15, Jesus Christ's words, you did not choose me, but I chose you so that you would go and bear fruit and bring honor and glory to the Father. Let's bring honor and glory to the Father. God has blessed us in Christ. Let's praise Him for all the blessings, and let's live in such a way that He gets all the glory. So this week, thank Him. For maybe take these two, one 3 days, the other 3 days, and then think about, listen, all the blessings we have from God, let's bring glory to Him. Let's make sure we lift up the name of our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord. There's just so much here, and we just touched the surface. Lord, we know that we could spend the rest of our lives thinking about your choosing us and your adopting us and all of these things. So, Lord, the goal, we just want to praise your name. We want to lift your name up, and we want you to get all the glory. And, Lord, may we never take for granted your grace to us in Christ. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we got any questions or comments before we'll stop? And if anybody's interested in joining, well, you can go back to the back. But how about questions or comments or anything? Let's start back there and then here. Yes? Did he choose everyone? Thank you for asking that question so much. The truth is this, the best that we can tell, that there's two ways to look at it. There is that aspect that he did not choose everyone, that in his grace and mercy, he chose some. There's one, and there's two ways to look at it. One is that the choosing is that he chose everybody, but some are in Christ and some are not in Christ. I don't hold to that view. The other is this, that by the grace of God, there is mankind, and all mankind is going astray, and if God doesn't intervene, no one would be saved. And so in his grace, he chooses, he reaches out and brings some to himself. Some say, doesn't seem fair. Is it fair that anybody gets to go to heaven? No, nobody deserves to go. There's no fairness in this at all. It's all grace. So that's a hard question. And that's why from the God side, people get a little bit bent out of shape and say, well, you mean he didn't choose everybody? Well, he definitely chose us in Christ that we'd be holy and blameless. So everyone who's believed in Jesus Christ, we can definitely say he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. From the God side, to be honest with you, I don't think he chose everyone. Now, there's two thoughts. There are some people who teach in what they call double predestination. That is, God chose some for salvation and he chose some to go to hell. I don't see that at all in the scripture. What I see is God in his grace and mercy pulls some to himself, or otherwise they would go to hell. He didn't choose them for hell, because where are people going anyway? They're already on the way. They're all like sheep who've gone astray, each one their own way. So that's a hard question. Thanks for asking it. No, it really, thanks. Yeah, James.
Mine is kind of along the same lines, but how does that kind of go along with 2 Peter 3:9, where it says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Okay, there's a great passage in the Peter passage where he says, now God is not willing for any man to perish, but to come to a change of mind, to a repentance. What many say there, and let's just talk about it. We're going to talk about it from the God side, so don't get messed up. But from the God side is this, that there is a sovereign planned will and a desirous will. In other words, here's what God plans, here's what God desires. If God desired that, if God planned, or if from his desired will, if he planned that everyone would be saved, or if he said, I want everybody to be saved, so I'm going to save everybody, would everybody be saved? Yes. So that's why some say that when God says, it says that God's not desiring that anyone would perish, but all come to a change of mind. That's his desirous will. That's what God would say. I would desire that all people would know me, but I allow them not to know me. That's what most say. Does that make any sense? It's all hard, isn't it? It's all hard. It really is. This is the hard. I'm telling you, I think this whole aspect of the election, the God's sovereign side of election and man's side of election, I think this, or salvation, I think this is the hardest thing. I think it's the hardest thing in the scripture, and I think it's so hard is because technically we're not able to comprehend it. We can believe what it writes. You can believe in Ephesians that he says he chose you in Christ for the foundation of the world. You can also believe in John 3 that you must believe in him in order to be saved. They're both true. That help any at all? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. What else? Questions, comments, anything else? Yeah.
So once we're chosen, what's the point in trying to evangelize anybody else? Because if they're chosen also, is God going to get them anyway?
Okay, that's a great question. And that's what happens when people all move to the God side and say, if he chose, they're going to automatically be saved somewhere down the line, so I'm not having anything to do with this. And that's why people who stress only the God side, much of the people from the Reformed view and the Calvinistic view, all they are not very evangelistic, because they say, I don't have to worry about it. What they're forgetting is there is the man side, and they're also forgetting that God said that we would be the instruments by which He brings people to Himself. How are these people going to hear the truth and believe in Jesus Christ if we don't tell them? That's why Mark 16 says, go to every creature. That's why Matthew 28 says, go and take the message to the world. And Acts says, go into, you know, all the world. So I see it that if you even look at it from the God side, you have to realize we are the instrument that God is going to use to get the message to the people that He's chosen, if you look at it that way. Does that help any? That's how I look at it. Let me tell you this. Who do y'all know that's chosen in town that hadn't believed yet? You don't know, do you? You can't even look at life that way. I don't think we look at life. He's not telling us. Now, I want you to think about this, that some people are chosen, some are not. He didn't say that, but that's how people look at it. He doesn't say that. What He says is you go into the world with the message of good news and you tell it to people and bring them to Christ. In other words, tell them about Christ. And as Paul would say, we persuade you. We beg you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled. Trust in Christ. We don't live on the God side. We live on the man side. We get up in the morning and we get to go out with the message of salvation. We tell anyone and everyone. And what we want them to do is believe in Jesus Christ. We don't have any of this election part of it. We don't even know anything about that. That's from the God side. And the people that get all stuck on the God side and they don't put them together, they don't tell anybody. So you're right. If you hold to the one side that says God just chose certain people, then you don't have to tell anybody because God's God and He'll do whatever He's going to do. But the forgetting thing is that God's going to use you to tell the person that's going to come to Him. What else? Hard stuff. Okay, I see you. I see you up there in the balcony.
You know that two thing that you kind of talk about?
Yeah.
What does the U stand for again?
Unconditional election.
Okay, does that fit into what we're talking about?
Well,
God is saying,
yeah, from the God side of it, there's not one thing in us that He looks down and says, Stephen Scott, great guy. I think he's so good, I'm going to bring him to myself. No, because all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own side. So the unconditional election part from the God side is accurate. The other parts of the tulip thing aren't very accurate. The vowels are great. The consonants are horrible. Okay, so just remember that.
Oh, you're great.
It's true. It's true.